Welcome to the Access Advocacy Podcast. I'm Adrian Shapiro. The goals of Access Advocacy are to improve the lives of patients and caregivers who are dealing with the chronic illness of sickle cell disease. I'm here to give you an update about what we've been doing. As many of you know, or maybe you don't, I have been involved in the sickle cell disease community for over 45 years as a sister of a brother, as the mother of a child, as a caregiver, as a friend, as an advocate. And during that time, I have witnessed and on many occasions experienced the despair and hopelessness that can come with having this horrible disease in your life. Because sickle cell disease was considered a childhood disease, meaning most would not live beyond the diagnosis or essentially early childhood, sickle cell was considered in many times a death sentence. Now, fortunately, much of that has changed in terms of longevity. However, we know the overreaching sense of despair and hopelessness is still firmly entrenched in the sickle cell disease community, despite the many advances that have been made in science and medicine. Access Advocacy was originally formed because we had made so many, not made, but we were on the axis of so many improvements. They had begun stem cell research, so we were looking at a universal cure. We had several pharmaceutical companies who were on the brink of beginning phase one trials, and it seemed the perfect time for Access Advocacy. During those last 3 years, we did a lot of what we call prototyping. Actually, this show was a prototype. Could we use it to get information out? Could we use it to get the community engaged? Would those people who were doing this work that we were expecting come out and speak to us? And the answer to that was yes, they did. And the podcast was, for many years, a top 10 podcast for a nonprofit. We did several other prototypes. We looked at wellness. Would the community, which we knew was suffering and sort of always having a life that was disrupted and focused on health and safety first, would they be willing or were they interested in coming out and finding out about wellness, diet, exercise, meditation? And we found out, yes, they were. We sat down and we said, okay, so pharma will talk to us, researchers will talk to us, the community will talk to us. What else did we need to learn? Because this landscape of advocacy and sickle cell disease, there are many, many organizations. And we wanted to make sure that what we were doing was filling the gaps. We wanted to support other organizations and what they were doing, but we also wanted to really find where we could be helpful. And what we learned was that the things that we had prayed for and we were working towards outside of our world were happening and we could support them. But none of it would be meaningful if those of us who were actually living day to day with the disease did not have support and help to get through those difficult days. And I always had a view that everyone had the care that our family had. And once we saw that that wasn't true, and we started the journey of a point of care advocacy, we were able to really, really gather information and experience and an understanding of what it means for most people to live with this disease. Now I'm taking a breath because this was very difficult and we've lost many. And we here at Access said, okay, Things are different now. We have new treatments. The cure is very close. What can we do to help those people living now with the disease? How can we take these thousands of hours that we've spent at the bedside, in conferences, on the telephone, face to face with so many warriors and family members and caregivers and care providers and researchers? What can we do in this in-between time? The in-between time of having nothing to having something, and then ultimately to have a cure. What can we do? What does our community need? And so we looked at it and we said, well, the truth is there's no one size fits all for this. There are those of us who have lived 45, 50, 60 years. There are people just starting this journey. So what do we really need in terms of support and help? What could be the most beneficial thing? And so we realized that this journey from a state of hopelessness and helplessness to a state of confidence and empowerment and wellness would be something that we could accomplish if we were getting what we needed at the right time with the right support. It's kind of like this thing of parenting, right? Where at each stage you watch your child develop from, you know, birth to crawling, from crawling to walking, walking through toddlerhood, potty training, kindergarten. It was the same thing for us. At what stage do we need which tools, which skills, which types of interventions, what types of resources? And so we said, all right, well, that makes sense, the whole life continuum. And we did an analysis, and there's lots and lots of research about life development and our stages within our disease, as well as just normal human development. And we said, all right, this makes sense. Let's divide our community or create a program that looks at the life cycle and needs, and develops resources and tools to help us get through each of those stages. Now, I'm going to say this, that unlike parenting, which never ends, we believe that there will not be a need for access advocacy in 20 years. We believe that in 20 years, there won't be a need for an organization like this, that our community will have a new state of norm, a new state of stability. So we're temporary, unlike parenting, which is forever. But to have this thriving community that's benefiting from new research, from new treatments, from advocacy work that changes what happens to us at the point of care, having this newfound empowerment and confidence in our lives, reaching this new potential to maximize the great things that we're going to have or that we now have, is requiring a fundamental switch in how we live. Now, it's not to say that how we live is inappropriate or wrong. It is how we had to live once we got that letter with the diagnosis. Everything had to be through that lens of health and safety first. But now we can broaden that lens, and it becomes health and safety. It becomes choice, it becomes launching, it becomes all those things that really was what we had before we got the letter, right? When we were carrying that child before we knew that we were having a child with sickle cell. And so we're looking at the lives differently, and we understand that that redesign of our lives. Prior to this, our lives were pretty much guided by the great disruptor, sickle cell. But now we have things where we can take sickle cell and tame it, for lack of a better analogy or word. So we've identified these stages in our sickle cell experience from diagnosis to adulthood. So the first stage is once you get the letter, and generally for most of us, that's through newborn screening. So that's ages 1 month to 4 years old. You get that diagnosis, and all the things that we do at that point, we're building the foundation. So we as parents have to be very much aware of how what we do, how much we know, and how our interactions with our new person, our new child, set the stage for life for them. It's just like in the beginning, first 5 years, right? As a parent who's been living with a child with a diagnosis, maybe you've had your child and the child's now two. There are certain things that you've learned. Well, you will have to unlearn some things. But really, most of that is on you as the parent. Now, that stage for sending your kid off to school, particularly kindergarten, has always been a big one and a difficult one for us. More so when you have a child who is unwell. So, again, in changing that, we'll have to look at things like treatments and how do you have a child who has to take meds when they're at school, not pain meds, because it used to be if you had pain meds, that went to the nurse or you couldn't take the pain meds at school. There's a whole different paradigm shift in here. And then from there, we look at what happens when they're 10 to 13, because that's when it starts. 10, they're still pretty beautiful and elegant and still love their teachers. By the time they're 13, they are really thinking for themselves. And then we come into our classic 14 to 17, right? That's the age of transition. And in this change, in this redesign, we're looking at transition starting really from birth. It's a different way to look at things because your child has to learn things differently. But 14 to 17, as we prepare them to take more control of their actual health care and to understand how much they themselves do have control over. At 17, that's the last point at which we, as the parents, really get to make decisions about them. Once they're 18, we can't even go into the room with them with their docs. Now, the 18 to 25, those of us that are like in the middle of it now, are really facing some real challenges because there are things that have to be unlearned. There are things that the child is in the middle of. It's a troubling time now. So what does that child need as they become a young adult? Lots and lots of documentation on it. Not so much resources, not so much help with parents, not so much confidence at this point. And then, of course, once we get them to 26 and over, that whole thing of being an adult and launching into full adulthood and managing the side effects of currently living with the disease, all of those things are highly, highly individualized. So kind of looked at these stages as first being diagnosis, the second being adjustments to existence, 10 to 13, that struggle for survival, 14 to 17, the transition of living with sickle cell as the child becomes very much self-aware, the 18 to 25 as being that transition to thriving. They've gotten through those stages that traditionally parents are on hands parenting, right? And so How do they take what it is that we've done, that they've learned, and have those resources and decision-making skills in order to get through the early stages of launching a career, of looking after themselves? And then finally, that last stage we think of as being able to reach their full potential as they mature from 26 and over. We recognize that individuals are going to enter our community at different phases, at different ages. For example, some of them may not even know that their child has sickle cell until they're 5, 6 years old. There may be people coming from other countries that weren't tested and didn't know. We have other individuals or family members and caregivers who aren't open to discussing the fact or sharing the fact that there's sickle cell disease in their family. This is particularly true in our Latinx communities. There are people who are afraid of new technologies, do not trust new medicines, do not have access to those things. So there is a need for us to put a definition around the needs and resources for each stage. So we here at Access have always tried to look at things systematically, to do a deep dive, to do research, to analyze, to prototype, to redesign, to try to come up with the best way to do things, to utilize an integrated and systematic three-pronged approach of advocacy, education, and science. We developed a standardized approach to assess the needs and identify the resources so that we can customize them and provide the individualized support for everyone within our community. Up to this point, it's been really, truly a learning experience. We feel like as a new organization, we have been very effective in many of our endeavors and successful. And now we're at the point where we can take everything that we've learned and use that in a way so that that dream we had of starting Access can truly, truly be achieved. And when we started, we were thinking only initially about a cure, that everyone would be able to get stem cell cure, and that was the thing, that was it. And now, with what we've learned in the past years, what is a cure? There's lots and lots of discussions about a cure, and it being the absence of disease. And from what we've learned, because sickle cell affects everybody in the family, it affects the caregivers, it affects the siblings, it affects the grandparents, it affects everyone on every level. So maybe cure in this sense, in the sense of advocacy or Access advocacy, that cure is having the absence of the effects of a disease that is unpredictable and debilitating in your lives. And so that's it. We are going to launch on our next 5-year plan of curing our lives of sickle cell disease. And I want to thank you, everyone, for all that you've done, all of our volunteers, all of our supporters, all of our experts, everyone who has granted us access to your minds, your energy, your bedsides. And I look forward to us starting this next journey together. Thank you. But before we go, I wanted to let you know that you can learn more about our organization on our website, accessadvocacy.org, or on the Access Advocacy Facebook page. That's AXIS advocacy.org. I'm Adrienne Shapiro. Thank you for listening.